This is Ellen Berkovich for Adobe Airstream Radio, and I'm delighted to be here today with Rulon Tangin, who is the artistic director and choreographer of Dancing Earth, the foremost contemporary Native American dance company in the United States. Rulon formed Dancing Earth in Santa Fe in 2004. Her company is an intertribal one that includes dancers from 14 nations, including Blackfoot, Yaqui, Shoshone, Navajo, Cherokee, Hopi, Tewa, and Karasan, along with tribal members from Central and South America. They've performed at international and domestic venues and festivals, and Rulon herself has had professional experience in New York, Canada, California, and Europe. Last August, on the Friday evening before Santa Fe's Indian Market, Rulon Tangin brought her company, Dancing Earth, and their production of Bodies of Elements to the James A. Little Theater in Santa Fe. Welcome, Rulon.
Thank you. That was a great night with the thunderstorms and the rainbows that night. When you were saying the date, I was just remembering the
chords.
Yeah, all the elements were there.
People were waiting outside and pools were forming in the parking lot. Did that feel like a blessing before the performance?
Well, it was like before, during, after. I mean, it's a shock that we had any lights at all.
How did you, so let's back up a little because I really want to talk about that. But tell us a little bit first about how the dance company from which of Bodies of Elements emerged began for you.
Well, it's interesting because that show, in a sense, was a culmination. There were three of the dancers on stage. I had met them when I first moved to Santa Fe when they were maybe 10, 12, 16 years of age. And I think there were maybe 9 or 10 dancers that night. But those three in particular were young women that were, you know, in the dance schools in town that I was guest teaching with. And they were all of Native American heritage. And so I saw them as the seeds, you know, like, oh, they, you know, I didn't train them from scratch, but I was, you know, setting choreography, involving them, mentoring them, keeping an eye on what they were doing. One of them, Sina Littlebird, she went on to Columbia University as an environmental biology major and dance minor, and then came back to tour with us for 2 years in this piece of Bodies of Elements, which is a great way to combine all of her interests. And then the other two also have been doing interesting things with their lives. Serena Rascon is teaching up in Velarde. Nicole Salazar had a career in Denver and New York. So it was sort of this idea of seeing these young people, seeing something special about them, seeing this the power of their native heritage inside of them, which they may or may not have been that interested in at that moment in time. Sometimes when you're a young ballerina, that's not, you, even for me, that wasn't, you know, the great defining factor about me at that age. But to sort of allow them to see how dance can incorporate identity and incorporate ancestral knowledge, so to watch them grow until they got an age where we could really create in a powerful way together. And then along with them are these amazing dancers, other dancers I run into that have a native, maybe more of a traditional dance background, or a powwow background, or breakdance, martial arts. We have a lot of men in the company with martial arts backgrounds. So it's like this divine choreography. We come together around these themes. And I'd say culmination on that night, because after that, Sina went on to Thailand to a fellowship. Serena is focusing on her teaching right now. Nicole is still working with us. But it was this wonderful moment of seeing something that started from way back when and seeing them flower. I mean, they were just amazing on stage that night.
There are so many points I want to pick up on from what you just said. But one of the things that, before I forget, really, is that when you came on stage before the performance began, you said that it was the first time that your company had had a venue in Santa Fe at this Indian Market timing. And I wonder if you could say something about the relationship between being a contemporary Native American choreographer and the import of that date to you, or was it a synthesis? Was it a coming together that healed some previous division between Indian Market and contemporary Native expression?
Well, we weren't invited to perform. We self-produced. So I think, you know, Indian market is an international moment, you know, people coming from all around the world to see visual art. And presumably, the Swayan people who run Indian market, they presumably have their hands full trying to, you know, showcase all of the amazing visual artists from around the country. And now they're including Canada, which is wonderful. I think that performing artists get a, they get to, you know, sing on the plaza stage,
yes, right.
A little bit of fashion. So there's a touch of other arts. I think they've embraced film. I know that dance is, quote, expensive to present. However, when I see the price of certain art pieces, I think one bowl sometimes is the cost of presenting an entire show of 12 dancers who've been rehearsing for 6 months.
So you went to some trouble, in other words. You had a period of time in which planning the production in Santa Fe, getting the venue and the date,
yeah,
let's just say, was a...
Yeah, it's a risk. It's a risk when you choose to self-present. We don't do that anywhere else in the country. We're invited. We're brought in. We're flown in. And this is a smaller city. And, you know, it's where I spend a lot of my time here at home, so or in between all my travels. So I just couldn't go through another year of Indian market without, seeing dance represented in a strong way. And you can't always wait for someone to invite. And, you know, it's the way I made my dance company. I wanted someone to create a dance company that I could be the star of, a native dance company, you know, or a production. And if you wait long enough, you realize you better just do it yourself. So I just decided I'm going to add us to the buffet of wonderful events that are happening. And Swaya, I think they called that week or a couple weeks before and, you know, said they would be happy to include us in their promotions about it. But the thing is, there is no other place in the United States besides Santa Fe that can highlight Native contemporary art in the same way. There's a history of it, there's a market for it, there's interest in it. It's why I moved here. I created the dance equivalent of the wonderful modern art that's happening in sculpture and jewelry and painting, and I want our work to stand alongside those as an equal part in the circle.
And let's return to the themes that you were discussing as you were describing the trajectory of your dancers and also of yourself. I read in reading your bio that you've taught and lectured very widely, but including at Stanford University's Institute for Diversity in the Arts on race and environment. So I'd like to, race and environment is a very big phrase, but I'd like to hear more in the context of Bodies of Elements and your work about race and environment.
You could have knocked me down with a feather. I mean, first of all, it was so amazing to be approached by Stanford University. To see dance included explicitly in number one, the conversation about higher education is very powerful for me. And then when they said they wanted me to lead a creative process that would go across campus departments. It was not for the dance department. So everyone was invited. I pulled in people who were working in the water units and like all kinds of people. And to create something about race and environment. And I found it interesting because I didn't know what race was and I still probably don't, but I wasn't there to impose my ideas or non-ideas about what is race. It was for to allow dance, creative movement, creative writing, spoken word, sounds to invite out into the open a knowledge that we might not know we have, especially with these like very smart academic students. You know, they're living up in their upstairs world up here in their heads, and like to find this body of knowledge of information. Students were confronting things about themselves, their identities, their preconceptions that they didn't know that they had. And I think that's where art is amazing. In a way, art is the manifestation of dreamscapes. It's of our own subconscious and our collective. And in order to make change in the world, you have to dream that change up. So that's where art is significant.
And you see your mission in Dancing Earth? Is a guiding principle of your choreography to make dance that images and gives movement and blood flow to issues about the environment and danger?
That wasn't my initial impetus. My initial impetus was to create a space for Native culture and philosophies to be expressed through movement and related arts. And then coming, when we did it at first, for the first number of years, most of our audiences were Native communities, most of our invitations, and, you know, I was working from a body of knowledge that had been handed to me over decades. And so at the moment when we were, there was a grant we got from the National Dance Project, and then at that point we were going to create work that hopefully would then get out beyond the communities we'd already visited, serving them as well, but also to farther off Native communities and or universities and festivals. So I had to think very carefully about what themes of Native culture would be appropriate to share outside. So it's not all a free-for-all. There's certain things that are like, okay, this is just for you, or this is for our people, just our people. This needs to be strengthened at this time, and other themes that people need to know this.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're touching on that, because in a way, clearly, at least in the public mind, there's an element of a Native American storytelling that is hermetic, and I use that word without judgment, meaning that it's really not meant to be transmitted outside the group or the nation. And I was struck in coming to see your performance, not only about how, and this was a word I used in the review, imagistic it was. In other words, that one's imagination could take flight from the hoop or a portion in which video was projected. And there were visuals as well as movements that appeared spiral or cyclical and making different passages. And so there's a continual question in a way, obviously dances, and it's a good thing, a nonverbal medium. Mm. But how have you encountered issues of what is tellable in storytelling?
I saw some changes with what was tellable. There were changes in attitudes in the last 30 years about what the state of crisis that was coming to be understood. And then the priority of what needed to get out into the world.
Crisis and what, and loss of language?
I'd say that was one that was crucial, that was put to me. So in other words, one of grandmothers that shared a lot of information with me, I visited her a couple months before she died, and she was like, oh, that crazy stuff, you know, if you can do things that can keep our kids interested in the culture and the language, you know, go ahead. Whereas before, she had been much more standoffish about it. She would rather see, well, you know, she would rather have people staying close by and keeping with the language and the traditional songs and traditional stories. And then she saw that the kids were kind of getting lost out into all kinds of other things. So she thought she could see, you know, how, for example, led kids on the res are loving hip hop. And there's actually some indigenous roots to hip-hop and b-boying. There was even a early breakdancer in the early crews in New York whose name was Pow Wow.
Oh, wow.
And so there's some indigenous roots, not only with Native American, but, you know, with Capoeira, with from Brazil, and African roots that are not necessarily recognized, maybe a part of what attracts young people to those rhythms and sounds. But sort of re-entering culture, but maybe coming at it from the outside back in, you know, to bring people back in. But in terms of, protocols and permissions, I think that's a large part of the cultural research I do. And then I've been lucky enough for the work to have now been seen by people who might have been, like, not sure. And then once they see it, and I'm talking about elders and people that... the gatekeepers, I would say.
Yes, right.
And where now I've been the work has been accepted in a way like where it holds respect. And I would even say that it allows the traditional songs and dance to stay traditional because, for example, I have a great story about this wonderful artist, Nora Naranjo Morris, and this great, she was being celebrated at a big honoring ceremony, and they asked her if she'd bring her Pueblo dances down to come and like dance at the dinner party, and she was like, certainly not, you know, that these are sacred spiritual dance that stay on the land. But then she asked me if I could create something.
Oh, nice.
And instead of, you know, I do feel our work is sacred in a different kind of sense, but I looked at the major themes of her work and the sculpture. I created physical forms and shapes to imitate her sculptures. We moved the dancers down the stairway into the hall. You know, it was wonderful. And it was, like I said, it allows the traditional to stay traditional, and it allows us to still address some of the, you know, the themes of our culture, but in a way that can be shared more easily.
Do your dancers in an internal way? I mean, even just looking at some of the list, you know, clearly if one lives in New Mexico, one might be aware of the fact that Hopi and Navajo have had land disputes. Mm-hmm. And have there been times when your company has had to navigate conflict resolution internally about what happens? Or
I think there's different... this is going to bring us around to a conversation that was started with that question about race and environment. So I'd said, you know, I wanted, when I was a young dancer, I just wanted someone to, you know, make dances for me and I could be the star. And then I got tired of doing everyone else's visions and I didn't think that they, you know, I wanted to do that, create something more and bigger. So I wanted to create my own vision. And then it turns out that my own vision is not as so much mine. It's number one, what is filtering down through these relatives and cultural advisors and through the company. So I'm trying to create a space that where I bring these themes into a rehearsal studio that are, it's, I describe it as a map, these little landmarks that I've laid out. And then the dancers come in and they bring themselves to it. So in some cases they might not have as close a relationship to their tribal practices, but in a way it comes out through the movement. Or they're bringing very specific cultural references that they were like, I'm going to make up an arbitrary example, but let's say it's about fire. And someone might say, oh, but in our tribe, it's the women that keep the fire. And someone else would say, oh, no, but it's the men in our, you know, so finding a way to negotiate that space. And sometimes there are differences that come up. And so, yes, in movement and in creativity, we find ways to look at that.
Well, I wanted to ask you, and I'm not sure I even quite framed the question, but as you were speaking, I was reflecting on this, that I grew up in New York and I saw a lot of dance. And so, you know, a lot of people in New York maybe were aware of a dance like Martha Graham's Penitente.
Yeah.
Or, and the ability to look at your dance as someone, not a dance expert by any means, but as someone who's seen dance and loves dance, one looks at it and there's always these questions about formalism. Are you referencing formalist choreographers? Are you looking for, in the training that you do with your dancers, are you looking to mesh, or not mesh maybe, but meld, have your dance be a hybrid of traditions that reflect how much as people living in the contemporary world we pull from?
I'm actually not looking to hybrid or mesh, but because they're coming from such different dance backgrounds, I'd say for the first 8 years of working with a dancer, they're still referencing forms that they came in with. So, and I'm just, you know, I don't have the pleasure and honor and ability to work every day in studios with dancers like I did when I was a young dancer in New York. There's just not that kind of capacity to work year-round on dance that way. So maybe 8 years is a longer estimate. Maybe it's a process that we could move through in a year. I don't know. But I'm going to say 8 years because that's usually, that's a sort of like incubation period for a dancer. So let's say a break dancer comes in and then and I have a ballet dancer and, you know, let's say a pop, someone is Polynesian based, and you know, they're going to use those first 8 years, those forms are going to be what comes up. So what you're going to see on stage, you'll be like, oh, I see a little this, a little that. But that's not what I'm trying to pick up on. I might be saying, okay, I want to, you know, a sharp theme, a feather that, so when you have a fire, if there's a feather, it floats above the fire because of the heat. It's keeping it spiral, so it's like light and dancing on top. And so maybe I'll give that image, and I'll ask people to try to interpret that image. They're going to use the skills they have. They're going to use the techniques. And then I actually try to shave it away. I'll be like, okay, maybe not pointing the foot so much if it's a ballet dancer. Let's let your feet flicker like the tips of feathers. So that I've constructed shape with, because I want to honor this training that they each one has put into it. I don't want to say, you know, stop being a ballerina now, but I want to try to go deeper, because we're proud of the skills we've earned as a dancer. We want to show off all of our moves, but I'm looking for, you know, something that comes from deep in the marrow, you know? And you know, I think it'll be a lifelong journey. Who knows? Maybe by the time I feel like I finally have it, maybe it's just one tiny movement that's this big and it takes, 24 hours to do. I don't know. I've seen the work evolve. So that might be my goal, to find this essence. And I don't know if it's universal. I don't know if I think maybe people might see it as when you find that, it's this, it reaches people universally. May or may not. I'm looking for the authenticity, body by body. But what's happened is, in order to find the authenticity with each person, it's become a platform for diversity.
In part two of my interview with Rulon Tangen, we address some of the challenges of keeping a contemporary dance company going in today's competitive funding environment, and also her work on a new dance about water. For Adobe Airstream Radio, Ellen Berkovich, reporting in Santa Fe.
Every time I hear the phone ring, I see your number and I know. Try to breathe and keep composure while I practice my hello, hello. Then I fake casual indifference, like I was heading out the door. Seems what I say never makes much sense, 'cause what I wanna say is so much more. One-sided conversation, I'm hanging by her while I feel the separation, but she's got my heart.
Go see a movie? No, what's playing? Yeah? Oh, huh. Yeah, that sounds good. Just let me scrounge up a couple bucks for popcorn. Yeah, I know, it's a guilty pleasure.
And did you hear about Paul and Allison? Did you know they got a place? Work's been crazy, but there's nothing going on. We're two more rats inside the race. Do you think we'll have a summer now? Or do you think you'll go abroad? I'll be camping in the lounge again. that's just about all I can afford. One-sided conversation, I'm hanging by her while I feel the separation, but she's got my heart on redial. One-sided conversation, I'm hanging by her while I feel the separation, but she's got my heart on redial.
Love Shadows Heart on Redial, courtesy ccmixter.org, under a Creative Commons license.